This is the Own It Show, where we tell stories of how everyday people made ownership theirs to create extraordinary success.
Welcome back to another week of the Own It Show, Coach Conversations. And I'm Justin.
I'm Elise. Welcome to the Own It Show.
And guys, we're always talking about how we can better ourselves, how we can create the lives that are ultimately allowing us to be free, allowing our freedom, allowing us to run our own lives, own our lives. But it's so hard to sometimes get there. What does it look like? What's that picture? What does that level of freedom truly look like to you? And in today's guest, Eric's been able to really create that for himself. He's a five-time Ironman. He's really just operating his life the way that he feels he has found his own level of freedom, his own level of inner self fulfillment, and has truly been self-actualized. And that is so unique in not only what he does on a day-to-day basis, but also finding out what that perfect day is. And so without further ado, Eric Hinman, it's so great to have you on the show, and I thank you for taking the time to be here.
Thanks for having me, guys.
So, Eric, I'm curious to kind of just hear a little bit of your story. How did you get to this point in your life where you wake up every single morning and get to choose what you do and do the things that fulfill you?
Sure. So I like to break this into two chapters, and I give this advice to younger people, especially entrepreneurs, and you have to write some surviving chapters in life, and hopefully the surviving chapter in life will lead you to a thriving chapter in life. So I was blessed that my father gave me an incredible opportunity right out of college to build an asset and to create residual income. And he was the manager of a small mutual insurance company in upstate New York. And he gave me a small salary and a company car. And, you know, basically said, create your destiny. So I got my proper casualty insurance license the day after I graduated from college. And over a 7-year period, I found these niche markets to sell property and liability insurance to. And those were mainly campgrounds and marinas in New York State. And, you know, it was very much a surviving chapter. It wasn't something that I was like super passionate about. I enjoyed building a business. I enjoyed helping people. I enjoyed creating relationships, but the subject matter was, you know, not something I was overly passionate about. So, but the two great things were it was an asset that I can eventually sell. It's my own. And with the property and casualty business, it's residual income, meaning, you know, once you sell a policy, as long as you keep that policy, you keep getting paid the same amount of commission, and you do a lot of work up front, but you don't have to do nearly the amount of work down the road. So those were two really valuable lessons, you know, being a 21-year-old fresh out of college to be able to have that opportunity that would later pave the way for everything else. So that's the biggest advice that I give to young people is, you know, if you have to write this surviving chapter, don't just trade money for time, you know, figure out how to build an asset or figure out how you can build something where there's residual income so that you can later do things that you truly enjoy doing. So from there, I still own that business. That was a lesson in entrepreneurship of delegation, automation, and elimination. I do very little work for that business anymore. I have people in place that run the operations and do the customer service, which obviously are the two major time sucks in any business. And then I got involved in software. I co-founded a software company in 2010 called Rounded. And we had a team of incredible engineers from Syracuse University that were also our business partners. And we were early in the app revolution, building mobile apps and mobile solutions for entrepreneurs that wanted an app on the app store or businesses that were looking to, you know, either build an app or take their website and make it mobile optimized. That was my day-to-day from 2010 to 2014. And it was just like the insurance business where I just immersed myself in it. I had no degree in computer science. I didn't know anything about programming. I didn't know anything about software design, but you learn as you go. And that's really entrepreneurship is learning as you go. So, you know, we teamed with people that were much better than me at all these other things. And I eventually was just on the business development side of, you know, building relationships and selling software solutions, which, you know, once I learned the lingo, I could talk the talk, but I couldn't sit down and walk the walk and actually, you know, design it and build it. I sold my shares in that company in 2010. And again, it was, you know, an asset that I was building. So it was, you know, something I enjoyed doing. It was subject matter that I really liked. And then since then, I've really been just investing in different passion projects. I co-founded a gym in upstate New York, CrossFit gym, indoor cycling studio, HIIT studio. I'm no longer involved in it, but certainly enjoy building the brand and helping staff the team. I co-founded two restaurants in upstate New York, one called Original Grain, one called Exo Taco. And with each venture, it sounds like a lot on paper, but my role got smaller and smaller from, you know, the insurance business where I was wearing every hat, doing everything, to the software company where I was mainly just business development, to the gym where I was mainly just involved early on in building the team and getting people excited about the brand and helping create the build out. The first restaurant was, you know, helping put the team together, building the brand. The second restaurant was mainly just an investment. So my role has gotten smaller and smaller in each of these things to make space for other things. This is a long-winded answer, but 2010 to 2014, I got involved in Ironman triathlon. And that's really what's led me to this lifestyle I live today. That taught me that I really enjoyed just being the best version of myself, and through exercise, purposeful training, the appropriate amount of sleep, recovery routines, I started just feeling amazing. And, you know, I was exuding positive energy. I had so much mental clarity. So I started basing more of my life around health and wellness, exercise, as opposed to just like, you know, chasing more monetary opportunities where, you know, you get a quick dopamine hit from it, but ultimately, you know, more money, more problems. And you just, you know, you have more things that take up more space in your brain. You have more stress. And, you know, I realized that I didn't want to go down that path. I wanted to go down a path where I had more space for things I enjoyed doing. I had more freedom with built-in structure. You know, I didn't have just like fire drills I had to put out every single day. So yeah, it was the Ironman that taught me that. And then where I've landed today is I have brand deals with various companies where I'm helping them build their brand ambassador program. So we talked about before going live, Vital Performance, 10,000, which is an apparel brand in New York City, Kane Footwear, which is an active recovery shoe that kind of looks like Crocs. I have a number of these different deals, Ice Barrel, where I'm helping them not only from the content creation side and promotion side, but I'm introducing them to other ambassadors. I'm introducing them to distribution channels. So I'm trying to really leverage my network and create my own unique space in this world of influencer marketing, acting more as a consultant that's doing like everything a marketing department would do, but without them having to pay, you know, the expense of having an in-house photographer, the expense of buying billboards, the expense of, you know, finding media outlets. So that's how I'm trading time for money now, but it's very lifestyle driven. I'm only working with companies that weave in with my lifestyle. Pretty much all of them, I've met the founding team. I have a great relationship with them. So yeah, I'm not taking projects where it feels like work. It's like, I want a relationship with these companies. I want to make sure that I'm moving the needle for them. So, you know, I like working with smaller companies that have some funding where I really feel like I can expose my audience to the latest and greatest, as opposed to working with a large, large company where I'm really just a billboard for them. And it just, yeah, it makes me feel like I'm providing significant value. And, you know, ultimately, I think we all want to feel like we're providing value in today's day and age.
Yeah, absolutely. And Eric, you know, what it is that you do today is so inspirational. Anybody who visits your website or follows you on Instagram or on social media, which I know you will tell us about later, it's so clear that you truly live in a lifestyle that lights you up, that makes you happy. And like you said, you live in a manner in which you are able to be the best version of yourself every day. I'm curious to understand a couple different things. The first one is the difference between chapter one and chapter two and how you experienced life in those two chapters. And then the second thing I'm curious about is What was the moment that made you move out of chapter one and into chapter two?
Sure. I think the moment was just not waking up with like passion and purpose anymore and realizing that, you know, a lot of the first chapter was more ego driven than it was like just internal happiness. And it was really the Iron Man training that, you know, led me away from the ego driven things and more towards just internal satisfaction and, you know, my head hitting the pillow every night and just feeling like, holy shit, I had a perfect day. Like, I want to keep replicating this. How can I monetize this life based around health and wellness where I just feel amazing day in and day out? So yeah, it was that feeling and that mental clarity that I got from, you know, doing 2.5 hour runs and 5 hour bike rides and Ironman races where you just have a lot of time by yourself and a lot of time to think, and you don't have a lot of stimuli and distractions around. And it just kind of strips away your ego when you're out there 2 hours into a run and you still got 40 more minutes left. And it's like, all right, I got to do this. I got to embrace the suck and get through it. No one's going to help me. And yeah, I mean, experience wise, again, I think it goes back to like ego versus internal satisfaction. And, you know, I feel like that first chapter was much more ego driven, just, you know, people's perceptions of me and crafting this public image rather than doing things where like, I just feel good after doing that. And at the end of the day, you know, I feel good. And I feel like I provided, you know, value to the world by hoping that I'm inspiring people to, you know, live their life the way they want to and design their own perfect day and figure out, we need money to buy coffee and food in this world. So figure out how to monetize it.
I love your analogy of what it's like when you're out for that 5 hour bike or that 25 mile run, whatever it is that you're diving into that you need to get through. And I bring it back to even that stage one in your life where you're, I want to make this really clear to the listeners, because it's not that each one of these ventures that you got into, they didn't just happen. They didn't just like overnight say, oh, I'm going to go and start doing insurance. And you were really successful at that. And then you're like, oh, I'm going to now go start this app company. And you were really successful at that. And then the business with the restaurants and everything you've gone into, you've put massive amounts of work into, massive amounts of time, massive amounts of blood, sweat, and tears that have created some sort of reward. And that it was that turning point of the Ironman training that you could almost say goes back to that, hey, I'm working to develop something. I'm learning to build something. I'm just now working on my body. I'm working on myself. I'm working at getting myself to a whole nother level. And that really resonated. And it's something that now you were able to say again, and you could even say it was a new phase one of, okay, I have a little bit more money in the bank to be able to go and have a little bit more fun with in order to, where do I start to make this something that can be monetized? Mm-hmm. But you gave yourself that opportunity. You earned that opportunity. It wasn't something that was given to you. Kind of speak a little bit to that work ethic and that effort level that was required to give yourself that level of freedom and earn it.
Sure. So I like to break this into collecting dots and connecting dots. So we have these periods in life where we need to collect a lot of dots, meaning like putting yourself out there, saying yes to every coffee meeting, you know, joining lots of clubs, and just meeting a lot of people so that you're putting yourself out there and, you know, eventually you're creating opportunities for yourself. For example, the gym led to me meeting my business partner in the restaurants. If I had never opened the gym, I probably would have never met my business partner in the restaurants. So that was very much a community space where there were a lot of people with shared passions that were getting together. And, you know, eventually I was able to collect these dots that formed the restaurants that I co-own. So I think it's important to, you know, have these chapters where you're saying yes to a lot of things. You're doing a lot of things. You're meeting a lot of people because you don't know what opportunities could stem from that social capital. And then once you have all of those dots collected, I think it's it's like going in with both feet. So with triathlon, you know, I realized that I really enjoyed it. I realized I wanted to get to the Ironman World Championships in Kona. So I hired a coach who I knew if I just like did the daily process for 2 years, like I'm gonna get to Kona. And, you know, I went all in and I hired the right people around me to be able to, you know, direct me in that path, purposeful training to get there. And then, you know, just saying no to everything else during that time period, you know, not traveling nearly as much, only going to places where I had access to an indoor cycling studio where I could bike. I would book places near a pool so I could get my swim in. I made sure I stayed in places where I could easily get a run in. You know, I researched all of the healthy restaurants if I was traveling so I could make sure that my nutrition was on point. So I really just like structured and designed my life in a way where I was bound to succeed. You know, I had my time blocks for training. I'm going to do my morning ride from 5:30 to 7. I'm going to swim at lunch. I'm going to run in the evening. So, it sacrificed a lot of things, but the structure and going all in is what created the success. So once you've collected all the dots and connected some dots, it's like making space so that is your priority and what you're trying to achieve. And, you know, again, like my insurance business is outsourced. I'm a partner in these different ventures, but I'm not operationally involved. Like now my primary focus and the way I go through life and my day to day is with the cap on of creating content for the brands I work with. And I think about very little else. I'm like all in on that right now. And then we talked a little bit about this Moab property. That's going to be a primary focus for the next couple of years of, you know, creating content for brands here in Moab where, you know, it's an exercise-based lifestyle. So it's going to be very easy to continue, you know, living the way that we want to live here. And then also, you know, monetizing this property so that we can bring more people into our space, because my girlfriend Sarah and I feel like we're more impactful when we're with people than like online coaching or anything virtually. So we wanted a space where we could bring people in and kind of show them our perfect day that they see and hopefully inspire them to, you know, redesign their lives to craft their own perfect days.
I'm glad you bring that up because that's something I wanted to ask you about. You know, it's so clear, Eric, that you have such clarity on what it is that gives you energy. And it's as if you have designed your life to create passive income so that you can spend as much time as you want in these things that light you up and give you energy. But it's not just like we go out there and we say, okay, I'm only going to spend time on things that give me energy. Like you said, it took you hours and hours on the bike or on the running trail or in that pool, whatever it may be. Thoughts to yourself. Not only did you have to do the outer work, you had to do the inner work to go along with that, to figure out what is it that gives me energy and what is it that I define to be my perfect day. Mm-hmm. And so I would love if you could tell us a little bit about your path to understanding that and also what creating or chasing the perfect day is to you.
Sure. So I think that comes down to presence. And, you know, I had a period of time where I would write out the people, the environments, the things I was doing that either I was completely present in the moment or my mind was wandering. I had anxiety. I wasn't excited about, you know, the people I was around, that activity I was doing. So ultimately it's mindfulness. And yeah, for me, the big barometer was, am I completely present and in the moment, having this conversation with these people, doing this activity, building this business? Or is my mind wandering? Am I sitting in some kind of board meeting and I'm like doodling because I don't feel like I'm providing value being on, you know, that board? So yeah, I think it comes down to that is like we're at our best when we're completely present in the activities that we're doing, in the conversations that we're having. I don't do well in big cities anymore. At one point in my life, I loved big cities, but all the stimuli and all the people and all the options, it just makes my mind go all over the place. I do much better in nature. And I realized that, you know, on these 2 hour runs or rides, it's like, wow, I'm completely present the entire time. And the high you get after that is tremendous. Whereas, you know, in a city, I just feel like my energy is being drained. I'm anxious. So I think it's, yeah, just being aware of those scenarios where you're not in the moment and getting rid of those.
So chasing the perfect day for you is chasing present moments.
Exactly. Yeah. It's building my day around what I call tiny wins and being in the present moment, you know, as much as I possibly can be.
How could you, what advice could you give some of our listeners to help them chase their perfect day?
So again, going back to, you know, being present or, you know, just not having great energy, writing down those things, you know, the conversations that you had today, which ones did you love? Which ones were you in the present moment? You could have had that conversation for 4 hours. And then which ones were, was your mind wandering? You know, you weren't excited about the topic, the person you were interacting with. What environments were you completely present? You know, if you were out for a run, were you completely present during that run? Or was your mind wandering? Maybe you don't like running. And obviously each their own, you know? So yeah, it's just being mindful and like journaling, you know, reflect on your day each day and write down those things where you felt like you were at your best. You were completely present. You felt like you were exuding positive energy, and then write down those things where your mind was wandering. You were anxious. You weren't in the present moment. You know, you didn't feel like you were the best version of yourself. So I think, I mean, those are steps I went through, and, you know, over time you just become aware and you don't have to write it down. You just realize, oh shit, I don't want to do this again. This is one of those moments where I don't feel like the best version of myself.
Eric, you talk about being able to understand that you don't do well in a big city as much as you used to, and being able to make the change to be out in nature a little bit more. And some people don't necessarily have that luxury yet because they haven't put the work in to be able to get there, or they haven't been able to sever the tie with their job that allows them the lifestyle in which they want to be in, and that's their priority. But if you were to say, hey, I have to stay in the city, or I have to be here, but I want a piece of what Eric's talking about. I want a piece of that presence. I want a piece of that freedom. What could you say to people as an opportunity or something they could add into their day if they are in the city where there's a lot of noise, a lot of chaos, a lot of distraction, stimulus that prevents them from getting there? Or the other way, if they are in nature or they are in a small place and they need more stimuli to actually keep them in that place that you found.
Sure. Well, I mean, first is the awareness component of realizing, you know, once you experience something else that you feel, you know, really makes your heart sing more than your current scenario, you know, how can I eventually get to that place? What can I start doing today in an over a 2-year period, get myself out of, you know, these environments and the scenarios I'm in now so that eventually I can move towards that. Another thing that I preach is cold exposure and heat exposure, but specifically we'll talk about cold exposure. Cold showers, ice baths, jumping in cold streams. You know, these are often labeled with do this if you're a high level athlete to recover. But what I've noticed having done this now for 4+ years is the mental benefits you get from it. And, you know, if you are in a big city with lots of stressors, you have a very difficult job, you know, you have some, you know, bad things happening in your life. I really feel like the cold exposure is tremendous for stress relief. It's just one of these things that's like a good stressor for your body that helps you adapt to bad stressors. And, you know, I could have the worst day ever and I jump in a cold stream at the end of the day, like all of a sudden, like all of these things that feel like they've mounted up vertically on my head, they just seem like all of a sudden they're horizontal and I can just like jump from one to the next and get it all done. So, yeah, cold exposure. If you are in this chapter of your life where you just feel like you're bombarded constantly, you know, A, work towards getting out of that, but B, the cold exposure is something that has helped me tremendously in just like de-stressing myself and calming my nervous system.
I know a lot of people are probably asking and wondering, you've been talking about all this stuff. What is Eric's perfect day? What does that look like? Moment you wake up to the moment you go to bed.
Yeah. So tiny wins. I love starting my day making espresso. I have a nice espresso machine, and espresso is one of those things that is kind of an art. You know, each time you have an opportunity to either make a shitty pour or a perfect pour. So I like starting my day, you know, grinding the beans and, you know, just going through a process, making that perfect espresso.
If you're not watching this on YouTube and you're listening to it audially, you have to go look at it on YouTube because his machine is right over his shoulder. And I'll tell you what, I bet you make one hell of a barista.
Yeah, I love it. You know, I make my girlfriend a cup of coffee. So, you know, doing something for a loved one obviously makes our heart sing. And then I block off, basically I've been going a little earlier here in Moab because it gets so hot so early, but typically my first training session is around 9 a.m. And, oftentimes it's a CrossFit workout. So I block off that time. That's my me time to get my first workout in. And, you know, the days are kind of built around presence and highs you get from the presence. So CrossFit to me is something that just puts me in the present moment, specifically like the Olympic lifting, where it's very like, it's process driven, it's a skill-based activity. And I just get a tremendous high from being so present and doing that workout. Afterwards, I usually take some kind of meeting, whether it's virtually or in person. When I was in my collecting dots phase, I would have a lunch meeting with someone new every single day, just to like really build that social capital network. Afternoon is reserved for outdoor time. So I'm usually off on some kind of 90-minute to 2-hour hike, run, mountain bike ride, road bike ride. Again, just kind of building the days around health and wellness. I'm eating healthy food throughout the day, smoothie bowls and smoothies generally in the morning and for lunch. And then I'll have a much larger dinner to just replenish all of the calories from the day. I feel like my energy levels stay high when I'm not eating as much throughout the day, and then I replenish at night. I usually do a recovery routine, the heat exposure, cold exposure from like 4:30 or 5 until 6:30 or 7 each night. And then dinner with my girlfriend, with loved ones, with friends in the evening. A little chill time, like watching Netflix or something before bed, answering messages, doing a little work on my computer, and then get to sleep, rinse and repeat.
I love it.
Certainly does sound like the perfect day.
It's a great day.
I know we've been spending a lot of time talking about how you've built your life around chasing this perfect day, but part of the human experience is to also have not perfect days or to struggle. Mm-hmm. So when you do face those times of adversity, knowing that you've also built up so much mental toughness, how do you approach those kind of situations?
Yeah, I mean, it's understanding life as a roller coaster. I don't know how well you can see this, but
that
was from a mountain bike crash about 5 weeks ago in Bentonville, Arkansas. That was not a perfect day. That was the first day I got to Bentonville, just checking out the trails. I was supposed to race 4 days later. Obviously, I wasn't able to race. I ended up in the emergency room for 5 hours. And, you know, I knew it was going to be a speed bump. It's like, all right, I've gone through this before. Injury is part of being an athlete. You know, firing someone is part of being a business owner. Down years is part of being a business owner. It's like, once you start going through some of these things, you just realize like there's going to be peaks and valleys, and it's not thinking about, you know, what is going to be affected by this. It's thinking about like, okay, this is, I'm biking again. I'm doing my full workouts again. It's like, life's going to get back to normal. I just have to give it a few weeks and know that like, those aren't going to be my perfect days, but what things can I do that will still make it a great day? You know, I can, if I want to get in the gym, you know, 5 days after this, I can squat. You know, I just work around things and I do things where I'm still trying to get in, you know, health and wellness, that's super important to me, you know, connecting with people I love, that's super important to me. So it's just reframing your mindset of don't think about the negative, don't think about these things that, you know, I can't do because of this that happened, but think about, you know, other things. I could spend more time now, you know, tying up loose ends with things that I've put on the back burner because, you know, I'm out exercising a lot of time. So I just reframe my mindset. That's the key. But ultimately it's like life is practice, you know, and the more discomforts you practice, like the heat exposure, the long runs, the long bike rides, endurance races, anaerobic CrossFit workouts, like the better you're going to adapt when, you know, an accident or something bad happens in life.
Yeah. So it's almost as if what I'm hearing you say is you apply those little wins as much to the perfect days as you do to the imperfect days, right?
100%.
Like maybe a little win is having extra time to catch up with a friend or on email or whatever it may be. And instead of that being seen as something that can drag you down, it's a little win. You have time now in your day that if you were chasing a perfect day, you would not have had that time.
Exactly. Yep. It's what can I do? Not what can I not do?
Yeah.
I love that mindset because it really opens you up and allows you to be present in every moment and allows you to figure out what can you adjust? What can you manipulate to still continue to see the positive and see, I hate this analogy, but that the cup is half full. Every single day, the cup is half full because you've been present enough to make the choice to do so.
Yep.
So Eric, what to you is your definition of ownership?
Having the freedom to, you know, do what you love every single day. That's ownership. That's owning the day. And, you know, freedom comes from structure. Like I just outlined my perfect day and, you know, there's a lot of structure within that. And I truly believe the more you can structure your day to avoid, you know, having to make lots of decisions, you know, allowing fire drills to easily pop in, allowing, you know, I've had my phone on call forwarding for the last 10 years. Like I don't like allowing for distractions and things to get in the way. So, you know, I think it's being super aware of what things make you present and then creating freedom and structure so that you can build your day around being present.
I absolutely love that. And Eric, we're going to have to connect offline because there's so many synergies here and so much that I never think that people are put in the same room or the same space or get introduced by accident. There's always a purpose. There's always a bigger reason. There's always something to learn, something to collaborate on, and something to better impact the world on. And so anytime we get on podcasts or get connected with somebody, it always brings a smile to my face and a little laugh because here it is again. and so I absolutely love it. And where can people interact with you? Where can people find you? Where can people learn about what you're doing?
Yep. Instagram is best. It's just my name, Eric Hinman. Hinman is spelled H-I-N-M-A-N. And then my website, same thing, erichinman.com. But yeah, send me a message on Instagram. I get back to anyone that sends me a DM and happy to answer any other questions you guys have. This was so much fun.
I love it. I love it. So
we loved having you.
Guys, as you move forward on your day, whether you're listening in the car, whether you are going in the middle of one of your 4-hour runs, and this is where you found us and Eric, be sure to think to yourself, where are you in your stage of life? Are you in stage one? Are you collecting dots? Or are you in stage two? Are you more connecting them? And with what level of awareness are you doing them? With what level of consciousness are you doing them? Where can you help yourself level up? What do you need to do to incorporate into your day so it can become your perfect day every single day? Remember, success is different. So be different
and own it.